Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to talk tonight about sowing forgiveness and reap godly benefits. Sow forgiveness and reap godly benefits. And this is part two. We did part one a long time ago, last year. And I just really feel that this is appropriate because there's so many things going on in our nation and around the world. And we have lots of opportunity to forgive many people. We get to practice almost every single day when we turn on the news. You know what I mean? I have kind of taken a step back. And I don't want to affiliate with any party, with any politics. I just want to be a part of the kingdom of God. That's the only thing that's important. That's the only thing that's lasting. I don't want to be involved in strife. I pray for people. I pray for the leaders because that's what God commands us to do. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And they need it. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on, especially this week because of the decisions that were made about moving the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem from Tel Aviv. So we want to stay in our lane. We can't add more stuff on top of what we're already dealing with. It's just too much. Let's just deal with what's on our plate. I don't want to take on other people's stuff. I do want to keep praying for the world, for our nation, for our government, for our city leaders. They really need it because of all these fires that we've been having in our area. They need wisdom. We need to pray for mercy on all the people in those fire zones. And we need to pray for Christians to learn how to protect themselves through prayer as well. And so we've been ministering to a lot of people. We've been taking our spiritual authority, commanding fires close to our families' homes to cease and desist their maneuvers and to stop. And when there's 30-mile-an-hour gusts and they said there's nothing else they can do and all night it should just keep raging till they can get helicopters back in the air and it goes out, we know that's God, right? Praise the Lord. So if we were caught up with other stuff, we wouldn't be able to do our job to sometimes see what's around us and take care of that. You know what I mean? And so sometimes we don't make assessments of ourselves because we're so ready to go help other people. A lot of us are that way, you know? And we want to do that. It's good. It's a good thing. However, we need to learn about growing in reaping and sowing. Let's go to letter A. Reap what you sow. Number one, the parable of the sower teaches to sow good seed, and then you will reap good. So if something bad is happening in somebody's life, a lot of times they'll just say, it was the devil. The devil's attacking me. Many times it is. But sometimes could it be that the person had a sin and they weren't aware of it and now there's a consequence to that sin? And so it's a good thing to do what Pastor Joshua says is sit down, rewind the video in your mind, go to that time when something started to be challenging and then think, did I have a bad attitude? Did I, you know, was it an internal emotional sin? Maybe it wasn't external and apparent to other people, but a sin of the heart? Was somebody offended but didn't show it? Whatever it was, we need to repent, and then we can stop the enemy. Because the enemy cannot operate unless there's permission. So let's see if we're sowing good all the time, or are we snapping at somebody without realizing it? You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people might say, well, I was snapping at you because this and this and this happened. And, but you know, if I don't actually say to my husband or to my loved one, I'm sorry, please forgive me, then I haven't humbled myself completely. I haven't gotten to that place of righteousness where I could admit that I was wrong. And that person needs to hear the words, I am sorry, I apologize, will you forgive me? And so I have learned to do that in my family. I'm one of the only ones that does it a lot. Sometimes I'm doing it when it's not even my fault. But I say it anyway, because you know why? Because I'm sorry that there was, that they were upset. They may have not understood me, a miscommunication, even though later on they came and said, you know what, I'm sorry, you were right. But in the middle of it, I apologize first. You know why? Because I'm taking the humble road. When I then humble myself, it de-escalates and it puts water on the raging anger of fire. And then you cannot rationalize with an irrational person. So the best thing to do is just say, you know, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I didn't mean to offend you. And will you forgive me? Now the ball's in the other person's court. You see what I'm saying? But I apologize that they got upset. It wasn't my intention. And even if it turns out I'm right, I still wanted to humble myself. And I'm not going to stick it in their face and say, I told you so. Okay. And if I was wrong, then you know what? I'm going to go back to my prayer time and say, Lord, how do I fix that? How do I not do that again? Show me, Holy Spirit, how to be more diplomatic or watch my words, or maybe my words were correct, but my tone of voice was not. I mean, the two go together. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, my husband will point that out to me, right, honey? So I'm learning on that one. Okay, so what are we sowing? So are you sowing that I'm right, that kind of attitude? Then what's going to happen? It's still a wrong attitude. So without realizing it, you're sowing negativity, and negativity is going to hit you back in the face, and it's going to start and ignite an argument, and then comes strife. And with strife comes what? Every evil work. So we want to avoid evil works, and we want to avoid strife, and we want to stay humble, and we want to have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and the peace of God reign. So we have to watch, are we really sowing goodness? Although we think we might be. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us analyze a little bit better ourselves. And when someone gives you a clue, don't bite their hand off because they're trying to point something out to you. Listen. Be gracious enough to listen. Maybe there is some truth there. And maybe you do need to fix something, or I need to fix something. But I can't change unless I hear what I need to change. You know, what I see out there on TV is censorship. They don't want to even hear the other side. They shut it down. You know why? Because they're afraid it will convince people to change sides. Because the truth sets people, what? Free. So then they just start yelling and screaming to shut that person up so that that will not influence the others to jump ship and see that they're wrong. So when someone is trying to talk to us, let's give them an opportunity to listen, and we're going to sow listening, because we want people to hear us, and then we'll reap listening. And number two, the good seed are the children of the kingdom of God, and the tares are the children of the wicked one, and God's separating them. We're seeing that. You know, we're also seeing where the Bible says, in the end times, bad shall be good and good shall be bad, wrong shall be right and right shall be wrong. It's crazy. They now think a lot of Christians are haters. They call Christians hate crimes because we're standing up for what we believe in the Bible. We don't hate people. We love people. But we don't condone sin. We separate behavior from person. But there's people out there that just wants to skew it so people misunderstand us on purpose. And then they're sowing those bad things. So here's an opportunity to forgive the person on the TV who's doing that and send laborers in the field to minister the gospel to them, to open the eyes of their understanding and flood it with light. Watch that you don't get angry. Watch that you don't become hateful because of what they're trying to instigate. And I don't want that being sown in my life. So you know what I do now? I just turn it off. I don't want to hear it. I remember I was watching an argument once. One family member was over here and saying, I can't believe that you did such a stupid thing. You're such an idiot. And nobody would ever want that. And the other person was doing this. La 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 la. And I thought, now this person was getting madder and madder because they were going, la la la. Like a little kid. You remember kids used to do that? And I said, Lord, why is she doing that? And he said, because she doesn't want seeds of anger sown into her heart. Because she's trying to stay in love. She's trying to walk in love. And if she hears all that stuff, it might make her really boil. And then she doesn't want to lose her cool and say something in sin. You know, she's trying to zip her lip. So it's better just not to hear it. So there's some instances where it's important to not hear it because it's so negative and so not godly. And you don't want to put that kind of seed into your brain, you know? And into your heart. And then there's other times where it's important where someone does want to reconcile or does want to tell you they were offended or you want to tell them that you were offended and you need to listen and make your words be gracious to the hearers. But you can't be so gracious if no one's hearing you. You know what I mean? Everyone wants to be heard. Everybody wants to feel valued that their opinion is meaningful whether or not you agree with it. We have to agree to disagree, but not be disagreeable. That's a godly way. Okay? So we want to act like children of the kingdom of God, not like the tares. And number three, forgive and you shall be forgiven, according to Luke 6:37. And some people said, I will forgive, but I will never forget, and I'm never talking to that person again. And so I'm like, well, you got part one down. Let's work on part two. Okay. And so if someone is abusive, absolutely, you cannot be around them anymore because you don't want to be injured or killed or put in the hospital. But once you're away from that person, you do have to forgive the actions and make sure you have no bitterness or rancor in your heart against them. That's a hard thing. It's a hard thing. When someone has been abused. But when you do that, then you are cutting the ungodly soul tie to that person and you are no longer attached to them. So people who hold on to the bitterness and the resentment and the memories are always tied to the perpetrator, tied to that sinner, and they will continually injure that person emotionally as long as they're not willing to release them and send ministers of God to minister the gospel to them. Okay? So, number four, forgive others that your heavenly Father may forgive you, because Lord God, we do need to be forgiven by God. There's so many things that we blow. We try our hardest and then, you know, we mess up again, but we ask the Holy Spirit to help us to grow stronger and stronger as we grow in our faith by hearing the word of God, doing the word of God, putting our faith into action. And so six, therefore, sow forgiveness and reap forgiveness from God. Seven, sow unforgiveness and what are they going to get? Unforgiveness. And so they're wondering, why isn't anybody helping me? Everyone's stonewalling me. And that person's always mad and bitter and resentful and never wanting to forgive. Then doors aren't going to open up to them. People aren't going to assist them. They're isolating themselves, and this is the effects. Be the consequences of unforgiveness. Sin, number one, sin hinders prayer. Number two, prayers are not answered if your heart condemns you. Wow. Prayers are not answered. So take a look at your prayer life. If things are, you've been praying for years and praying for years and praying for years, check out an analysis. Holy Spirit, is there any unforgiveness in my life I'm not aware of? Maybe I said it with my mouth, but I'm still hurt and wounded in my heart, and I need to release that hurt and woundedness to the Holy Spirit. God will help you with that, okay? And three, with iniquity in your heart, God will not hear your prayers. But four, remember, if he will not hear your prayers, it's because of your heart. Number four, it's tied together. Iniquity in the heart, if your heart condemns you, you see how that ties together? That's why your prayers aren't answered, not because God doesn't want to answer it. It's because we have to change our heart. We have to purify our hearts, okay? Number five, unforgiveness brings what? Tormentors, because they're constantly remembering the injury, emotionally, physically, offense, whatever it is. And so that might cause insomnia. That might cause sickness. It might cause infirmity. It might cause a lot of things. And so how do you get rid of that? Well, we're going to look at that. Number six, unforgiveness can result in someone being kicked out of the church and away from God's protective covering into the devil's realm because they got so much into unforgiveness that hatred welled up in them, rage welled up in them, and then they're totally just not walking in the ways of God. But that's an extreme case, okay? And seven, unforgiveness can cause the person to be turned over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. I was like, Lord, that is very extreme. It means they're going to die. And I said, Lord, why? And he showed me an example. There was a very godly lady who was at another church where we had attended, and she raised her children in the admonition of the Lord. One kind of sorta respected God and stopped going to the church, and the other one married an actual witch. Knowing she was a witch, the son married her. Obviously, he got into what? Witchcraft. He was born again since he was little. She kept praying for him to repent, that he would become aware that what he was doing was wrong. And he got more and more steeped into it, deeper and deeper. And then he got very, very sick. And then she was praying for his healing. And the Lord said, release him so he can come to heaven and not lose his salvation. She went, what? She did go to him. She prayed with him to repent, which he did. But even though she prayed for healing, he died. But she rest assured that he repented and he's now with Jesus. That's a hard thing to see your own child. But the Lord comforted her that she'll see him again because he's not with the devil. That's tough. Now, the godly benefits of forgiveness. One, if you confess your known sins, he, God, forgives you of all sins. And if you're an ABC-er, you know that, you know that, you know that, you know that, 1 John 1:9. But we're living it. We're letting it become so rhema, so alive, so part of our being that we want it to be automatic. And it's not quite there with me yet. I mean, I've been doing this for 6 years and I'm still, help me, Lord, okay? And two, forgiveness restores relationships. If you, according to Matthew 18:15, if you have a challenge with some people and you're not getting along with them, or they're not understanding you, there's misunderstandings, or there's not unity, there's not harmony, you're going to have to look at Matthew 18:15. You need to restore your relationship through forgiveness, but you need to go to that person in private. That word rebuke people use in inappropriately, I rebuke the devil. Okay, and they think that means that they're casting him out. It can mean that, but they're rebuking somebody that they're just going to tell them off. Well, that doesn't exactly restore a relationship. You know what I mean? So in this sense, it means kindly show them and correct them. Okay? Big difference, right? All right. In private, don't embarrass them in front of other people, even if you want to, because that's not godly. Because would we want to be embarrassed? I don't. So I don't want to sow that, because I don't want to reap it later, And if I do it by accident, it's not the intention. I apologize to the person afterwards, okay? And if that person listens to you, then you've won your brother or sister over. So that means that if they've offended you, you do need to talk about it, because if you don't, you're going to harbor bitterness, even if you forgive them. And that person may not think that you want a restoration, and you haven't talked it out to see what was the misunderstanding and listen to each other's side and respect that other person's opinion and at least be able to see where they're coming from. I think that's a very important point. Many times Christians are too legalistic. I already prayed. I already forgave them. I don't have to talk to them. That's not restoration. That's isolation. That's a big difference. Okay. So number three, forgive as many as 70 times seven and your debts will be forgiven. Or, wow, that means that I have to keep forgiving and forgiving and forgiven. Because why? Because then I want to be forgiven, right? Okay, and some people say that they're just so tired of being the one forgiving all the time because it's a one-way street. Ever felt like that? But you know what? If the water doesn't keep flowing from one way, it'll never flow at all. So if the word of God is not flowing, then they can't have the washing of the word of God and renew their minds. You got to just do it in well-doing. Don't be weary in well-doing. Keep speaking the word of God to them. Still walk in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. A lot of times we're not good to each other. We're not kind to each other. We're just, well, I'm walking in peace, but the person's very mean and rude. And so we need to change that. We need to all grow in that area, don't we? Okay. And when forgiven, you must then forgive others from your heart, not just from your mind, not just from your head, not just from your mouth, really in your heart, because then it's like, I'm uncomfortable. I don't even want to sit by that person anymore. So that's not disagreeing and not being disagreeable. You have to love them even though they might seem unlovely. Okay. And forgiveness is a prerequisite to healing. What? Forgiveness is a prerequisite to healing. Irks! I thought I could just do 1,000,000,000 affirmations and I'll be good. Well, it doesn't quite work that way because you've got a roadblock. And so, you know, when the freeways were shut down here, you couldn't go through those roadblocks. And so we need to remove those roadblocks. We've got to make sure our heart is pure and that we'd be able to really, truly forgive that person so love can flow and not block our prayers and not block the healing. Just like receiving forgiveness gets you healed, like when Jesus forgave the paralytic of his sins. And he just forgave him his sins and he could just got up off his cot, you know? And so seven, be kind to one another. Doesn't say snap the other person's head off with your mouth and your words just because you're too occupied to help them and they should have noticed that you were doing something important. You could still be tenderhearted to them and forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So D, forgiving others and forgiving yourself is loving yourself like your neighbor. The Lord showed me this parallel, and I didn't even know there were so many scriptures about you should love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, God really wants us to learn this. But most of us are just going out there and helping other people, and then we're neglecting ourselves, our time, our husbands, our home. We don't have enough time to take care of ourselves because we're so busy doing stuff for God that we're not spending more time with God. Okay. So number one, you shall not take vengeance. Strong's Concordance H, Hebrew 5:3-5:8, nor bear any grudge, Hebrews 5:2-0:1, against the children of your people, but you shall love, Hebrews 1:57, your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So he was commanding them in Leviticus 9:18. Don't bear grudges. Don't have bitterness. Don't have resentment. It was a command. It wasn't a suggestion. Don't be vengeful. Don't be passive aggressive and want to get somebody back, or don't compete with them. I'm going to one-upmanship that guy and be better than that person. That's a form of taking revenge. And you've got to love your neighbor But if you're not loving yourself and taking care of yourself, if you're not really spending more time with God, then is that a spirit of hating yourself? Is that a spirit of self-hatred when you don't have time for yourself because you're doing so many other things? Strong's Concordance, H5358, Hebrew definition of vengeance or avenge is nequam, which means to grudge, have avenge or punish, or self-punish, self-revenge, self-hatred, in other words. And people beat themselves up with guilt, with self-condemnation, with unworthiness, with insecurities. And then that's one of the reasons that roadblocks the healing. Because they didn't think they were good enough, or they've got to earn it. You can't earn what Jesus already did for you. You just got to receive it. And if you did something that was really, really super bad, if God forgave you, then you need to forgive yourself and forget about it and look at yourself as the new creature you are in Christ Jesus, because the old has passed away and behold, you've become new. And so you've got to put on the new. You've got to rework your mindset of who you see yourself as and look at yourself as how God sees you. He doesn't see you as the person who blew it. He sees you as a person who he loves so dearly. He sees all the good qualities he placed in you. But because of anger and being offended and rage, you became offensive and defensive. When someone is very offended by someone, sometimes they'll just rage back. And that's not good. That's not a healthy relationship, is it? And so we need to see where we can rectify relationships. That's how unity is built. That's how harmony is built. That's how a church will grow, because a house divided cannot stand. And so we want to continue uniting in love. That even though it might be tough love, if somebody is saying to somebody that they did something to them and they said, I didn't even remember doing that. Maybe it was inadvertent, but still that person felt shunned or felt whatever. Maybe the person didn't even notice you standing there because they were so occupied in their mind about focusing on a task they were supposed to be doing. And then I heard somebody say, the pastor, he just shunned me and turned his back on me. He didn't even say hi to me. And I tried to go say hi to him three times. I think he hates me. And I said, I don't think he hates you. I just think he was occupied. But he saw me. He looked right at me. I said, you know, he might have looked right at you, but I knew it was 2 seconds before the service started. So I think he was thinking about other things like starting the teaching. And so sometimes the devil will put things in people's mind, because normally the pastor wouldn't want to do that. Do you see why we have to just arrest those thoughts, stop them? And if they don't line up with the word of God, then reject them. Even if it was true, do we not see the word of God to forgive them anyway? Makes sense. But I don't think somebody would actually purposefully do that. And if they did, it's still our job to what? Forgive. Okay? Not hold the grudge. Okay, now this is interesting. When you look at the Strong's Concordance, you're on D, number 1B. Strong's Concordance, H5201. The Hebrew definition of grudge is natar, which means to guard, figuratively to cherish anger. They love being angry. You know people like that? They're always angry. They don't realize they really like being angry, because it's hard to see them not angry. Because they're keeping it, reserving it, holding on to it. And then it gets so enveloped in that snare of the devil that those demons are making them constantly be tormented with that anger, and it just, you know, oozes out of them. And sometimes you walk by someone that you don't even know, and you could just sense like, whoa, I'm not talking to that person. You know what I mean? And so we have to shower them with what? Love. Shower them with love. It's not easy. Here's your practice. Keep practicing, especially on loved ones, okay? Especially when you have holidays coming up and people, you just say, there's at least one person in my family And that's the person I try to stay away from at the, you know, Christmas party or whatever. No, why don't you try another method? Go up and just shower them with love. Do you know most people just want to be loved? And because they aren't, sometimes they lash out with bitterness. It's a weird backwards thing. But I practice on someone at this other church who, if I told you some of the things this person did to me, it was horrible. There was jealousy. There was envy. She said things behind my back. She made stuff up to the pastor. Thank God I always had witnesses that saw that I didn't do it, and they'd come to my defense. And I mean, I don't know what it was. The Lord said, keep showering her with love. So I would bless her. I saw that she was going through some stuff. I'd write her a card. I told her I was praying for her. Then it was her birthday, and I gave her a gift, and she never said thank you. That's okay. You know, then I would, you know, just notice that she needed something, and I made sure she got it. She didn't have enough money for it, and I just left it on her desk. I didn't say it was me. Somehow someone told her, and she said, I can't believe you did that for me, because she knew she had just done something really bad. I mean, she did it on purpose, and she had calculated it. And so what did I win her with? Did I do it because I wanted to be the better person? No, I really wanted to show her that she didn't have to do that, that God wanted her to be a better person. God wanted her to get over that, whatever it was. And I had written a letter to her and said, if I have offended you in any way, shape, or form without realizing it, please forgive me. And she said, nope, you have never done anything. And I went, what? It was just demons. It was just weird. But after a while of continually praying for her, continually being kind to her, even though she was rude, even though she was went out of her way to do stuff, eventually she became friendly. Eventually she learned how not to treat other people that way either. Because when she needed kindness, it was given to her. And she noticed that when she wasn't kind, then she wasn't receiving it when she needed it. And so there's a lot of opportunity to practice, isn't there? Let's keep practicing regardless, okay? And number two, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself, Matthew 19:19. And the second is like, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, Matthew 22:39. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, Mark 12:31. There is no other commandment greater than these. You think God is trying to make a point by repeating and repeating and really reminding us and reminding us and showing us how important this is. And number five, and so he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, all your mind, and who? Your neighbor as yourself. And that's Luke 10:27. Number six, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery in Romans 13:9. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. For if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Number seven, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, Galatians 5:14, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Do you think God knew there was a lot of really rude neighbors and he had to keep reminding them to not be weary in well-doing? Because then they would get in sin. Then their prayers wouldn't be answered. Then they wouldn't be getting healed. Do you see? He didn't want them connected to that kind of a relationship. So as long as they were pouring forth love, they would still be able to have those blessings from God. Make sense? And as you sow, so shall you reap. So pretty soon that person's going to come along because you're watering them with the love of God, the word of God. And then pretty soon the demons are going to get weaker in them, and then you can evangelize them. And then I was able to win some unlovely people over to the Lord and get them saved. Okay, through the love of God, not because I was right and I just, you know, sucked it back to them because they were so, you know, inappropriate. That wouldn't have won him to the Lord. Okay, number eight, if you really fulfill the royal law, you are a royal priesthood, a peculiar nation. We need to start acting like it. According to the scripture, you shall what? Love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. According to James 2:8. So let's pray this prayer together. And if anybody comes to mind, that although you have with your mouth forgiven them, but if you see them walk in a room and something still jumps in your heart, it's still moving. You got to get it out. There's still something there. Okay. And if you become angry, or if you become hurt, or these emotions are still active when you think of that person's name or an incident that occurred, then we might need to just go to the next step and dig out more roots of unforgiveness. Okay. Sometimes it's a process like peeling the onion, layers and layers and layers, and you cut one root and then you get to another and get to another till finally God is purifying our hearts as we continue doing that. Amen. So let's read this together. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive anyone who has offended me in any way, shape, or form, knowingly or unknowingly, by omission or commission, and every person who has participated in any of my sins or caused me to sin or have been affected by my sins. And in the name of Jesus, I forgive myself of whatever you want to say, if you want to say of unforgiveness, or I just forgive myself of whatever the Lord brings to your mind right now. Let's just take a couple minutes. Close your eyes and whisper it. This is between you and God. I know the Holy Spirit is moving and showing people, or you wouldn't have given me this message. Okay, and the rest of the prayer you can use in your own private time. It says, in the name of Jesus, I forgive, and you could name people. You could do it now if you want, or later when you're private in your prayer time. But it has to be from your heart, not just with your mouth, not just with your mind. It has to be heartfelt, okay? And like examples, I forgive that person or persons for hurting me or offending me or abandoning me, or what was said about me, or not understanding me, or whatever it was. And then bless that person. I bless. You have to bless yourself if you're forgiving yourself. Do the process. What are you going to bless yourself with? The opposite of whatever it was, and speak the word of God over yourself. Bless yourself to operate in the word of God. For instance, if somebody forgave themselves of holding on to grudges or bitterness, they could bless themselves, say, in the name of Jesus, I bless myself to ask you, Holy Spirit, to remind me that whenever I might get angry, upset, or want to go back into bitterness, that you help me to submit to you so I resist the devil and he flees from me. I bless myself in the name of Jesus that I walk in love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faith, self-control. I bless myself every day that, Holy Spirit, you help me operate in these gifts, not just look at them as a temperature gauge of if I'm in the kingdom of God, but to actually be a doer of that word of walking in the fruit of the Spirit, bearing much fruit in Jesus' name. And bless the other people in whatever the opposite is. Call those things that are not as though they were. If someone constantly is saying negative, terrible things to you and cussing you out, then after you forgive them from your heart, and I'm going to speak over them in the name of Jesus. God blesses that person's mouth and tongue, and their words are gracious to the hearers. I thank you, Lord God, that you bless the meditations of their heart and the words of their mouth. I'm going to start speaking that which God wants to do in that person's life. Does that make sense? And then it gives the Holy Spirit permission to start working with them to grow in Christ and to walk in love, joy, peace, patience, forgiveness, and not become offended anymore. I bless myself to not be offended anymore. I want God to help me do that, to have that shield of faith so those fiery darts don't keep hitting me. It'll just like be like what Pastor says, like water off a duck's back and just flow and be quenched. And I see it coming and I zip my lip and inside me, I'm going to go, I'm going to walk in love. Okay. And I love, so if you see me like this, you know what I'm doing. I'm practicing. No. And so, and then you end with, and I love me with the love of the Lord. Sing to yourself. And I can see in me the glory of my King, and I love me with the love of the Lord. We sing to other people, but we need to start loving ourselves and not letting the devil take advantage of us and not be doing so much for everybody else and God that we don't have time for ourselves and things that we need, and spending more time with God and restoring our relationship with Him first, and restore relationships with others and maintain that love of God, walking in forgiveness, so that as we sow forgiveness, we reap godly benefits. Amen? Yeah. I think you all wanted to share something. You want to do it another time? Okay. So let's just end in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this night. I thank you that I just believe a lot of people got their hearts mended, that they learned to forgive themselves, that God, you've already forgiven each one of us. And we don't have to beat ourselves up, and we don't have to earn your love or your grace, because you already forgave and you forgot. You chose not to remember anymore. And people who constantly are being offended or abused, Lord, help them right now to forgive their abusers. Separate themselves from the abuse, but to be able to release that person once and for all with true forgiveness and cut off those ungodly soul ties. And Lord God, if there's any people that even that have some kind of soul ties, that it might be a ministry relationship or whatever it is, but if it's not healthy, then show each person in the name of Jesus so that they could be set free and love themselves enough to release that person to God, so God could be their Lord. God could be their provider. God could help minister to them. And we will be released to advance to where God needs us to be and want us to be. We thank you, Lord God, for this night. We thank you that as we are coming to the time of remembering the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, that even though it might not be the exact date, it's still a time to honor him and to thank the Heavenly Father for allowing his Son to be born, and to thank Jesus for wanting to come to save us and be our Savior. And we want to be more like you, Jesus. Help us be people who walk in love, loving, forgiving people, so that we won't have any roadblocks in our life, and the love of God will cast out all fear and overcomes a multitude of sins in other people. And as we want people to love us regardless of our mistakes, we will continue to love them despite theirs. In Jesus' name, amen.